Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Beautiful Tuesday morning out there. Welcome back to the work grind. Hope you had an enjoyable day off, if you had yesterday off. If not, props to you. Kudos to you. Staying on the grind. Now, you may notice this morning, Mark may sound a little different to you. He's a little bit on the defensive this morning.
Mike, I am not on the defensive.
Somebody made a great point on the text line. You're thin-skinned about being thin-skinned.
Skim milk. I'm not thin-skinned.
So I made the mistake of referring to the Giants and Bronco skilled position players. You know, their receivers, running backs, tight ends. And Mark immediately pitched a fit. I got a glimpse of what, like, a five-year-old Mark Schlereth looked like when he was throwing a temper tantrum. And Poolside was just standing in the kitchen shaking his head.
But first off, I did not pitch a fit. I just was.
You got a little pouty.
I just was disappointed in you, Mike. I was a parent that thought you had learned something and you, apparently you haven't. So there was no pitching a fit. It was about what real skill is. And you, by the way, of all people should know. I mean, how many times have you said, well, receiver is the most, you know, the most overrated, most dependent position, most da 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 da. Why do we continue to help them become divas? Why do we continue?
Well, I'm not putting them by themselves as skill position players. I put wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs all under that umbrella. But you insist that no, offensive linemen are the true skilled position players because of what it takes to move a man from point A to point B against his will. Especially when, can you tell I've been told this a few times or not, folks? Especially when the guy that is least talented is expected to do his job correctly 100% of the time. Right. Otherwise, he has a crappy game.
Right. That's a skill. That is an unbelievable skill. The technique that is used. You know, it's funny. I had this, this text chain going around or email chain with my production crew. And they were talking about Dave Gettleman being on the hot seat. Now, Dave Gettleman is the GM of the Giants, guy that used to be a scout here when I played. And they're like, do you have a problem talking about Dave Gettleman? I go, no, because Dave Gettleman has a philosophy. Dave Gettleman's philosophy is the bigger, the better. And I'm paraphrasing. Let's just get big, giant athletes, and that's going to make us a better football team. And my thought process is, yeah, big is great. I want good football players. I don't care. I don't care if they're big, they're small. Are they great football players? It's kind of like, you know, drafting a quarterback because he's got great arm talent. You know, hey, Paxton Lynch has got great arm talent. He's going to be awesome. How'd that work out?
Not good.
No. So you need to draft good football players and leverage and power off the ball. That is created by technique. People, I had somebody ask me, they did this, there was this video of the Hogs from 1991 season floating around the internet. Somebody goes, how would you perform, you know, how would you guys have performed in today's game? Would have whipped ass is what we'd have done in today's game. I mean, technique is what creates leverage, not 335. That has nothing to, that has literally nothing to do with it. You know what 335 will get you? A stalemate. Just because you can engulf somebody.
How big were you guys? Across the board?
Well, Joe Jacoby was 305 pounds.
Okay. So everybody was pretty
Jimmy Lachey was 295. Okay. I was 290.
All right, so that's an apples-to-apples comparison when you talk about O-lines back then versus O-lines now. I completely agree. You guys would You would dominate today.
There's no question.
You'd be just as dominant.
There's no question.
I'd argue you might be more dominant.
The point for me is this, and I try to do this on this show, and I know some of you get really irritated with me. I'm trying to educate you on what really wins football games.
Are you trying to educate or you just trying to remind people why you're on I Told You So Island? Are you trying to educate or is it just...
Well, I'm on I Told You So Island.
You're trying to just establish and prove and reaffirm your dominance.
Well, that just comes naturally, right? I mean, when I hike up to the top of Mount Pompous and gaze down upon the subjects, you want to be on Mount Pompous, you got to start to accept the reality of what football truly is and not just how many what's the PPR rating on how many points do I get if I, for per reception? What's my point total there? Is it a half a point? Is it a full point? Like what am I getting? Stop it. I'm just trying to educate you. Now, if you're...
Just got a quarterback in your first round, then we would be good.
All right. Yeah, how did it work out in the Super Bowl 32 for Gilbert Brown, who was 340 pounds? Thank you, Texter. I appreciate you. How'd that work out? Not good for him. Great for us.
Text line. Did sound like a tantrum to me.
Wrong. It's always going to sound like a tantrum when you know you're wrong. See, that's the issue. You guys out there know that I'm right, and you hate it. You hate it. With a white-hot intensity of 1,000 suns, you hate it. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. You're like the coach from Waterboy. I hate him, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him. While you're stomping your high heels and talking to nobody on a broken phone.
Stink, I got your back from one lineman to another lineman. We understand. Don't let Evans push you around. Evans, please shut up and listen. Take notes from what Mark is trying to teach all of us. I'm on Team Stink.
Yeah, Team Stink. Love it. Let's go. Let's rally.
Yep, just as you were saying it, 335 pounds will get you Gilbert Brown in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Suck and win.
Suck it, Gilbert.
Another one, bacon, bacon, barbecue, bacon. Ask Gilbert Brown what way has to do with leverage. Mm. That's whole milk, Tim and Strasburg. Okay.
Yeah.
Glad we established that. Let's establish this. Why Daniel Jones is different from Drew Lock, even though they're the same. I'll explain next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
You want to know why it pays to be a high first round pick as a quarterback? And why it can set a franchise back? I don't think there's any real difference between Drew Lock and Daniel Jones. And yet, here's Daniel Jones through 2 years in New York. 27 games. 62% completion, averages about 3,000 yards passing per season, 35 touchdowns, 22 picks. And yet, never, ever a doubt as to whether or not he was going to be the guy this year. Never a doubt.
Right.
There was no competition brought in.
Mm-hmm.
No, hey, listen, you're at a crossroads, you got to prove yourself, none of that. Which is good if you're Daniel Jones. Boy, I bet you Drew Lock looks at that and goes, man. You want to see the difference between being a first-round pick and a second-round pick? There you go. But you also understand, you know, for those who say get a quarterback, any quarterback, you understand how, when that quarterback doesn't work out, how it sets back a franchise. Because if you're right about Drew Lock, and Drew Lock just isn't going to be the answer, at least the Broncos cut bait pretty quickly, right?
Correct.
Do you think Daniel Jones is a 10, 15-year answer in New York? I don't. But yet, They're sticking with him another year because why? They got no choice.
Right.
And you can see how it really kind of holds and hamstrings, paralyzes, really, a franchise.
But this is what happens to you, Mike, when you're trying to solve the conundrum and you're not bolstering the people around that quarterback. You're not building the roster the way it should be. Their O-line's an abject disaster. Their center is a former tackle who's playing center now. And he's not a bad player. They drafted a guard really high, big-bodied guy in Hernandez, who athletically, to me, is a bit challenged. Now, he was a mauler. But, you know, again, you got to go back to guys who just maul people in the college game. Do it on, it's like the kid you had in your 12-year-old Pop Warner League or whatever, that everybody, like, you would count, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, oh, shoot, I'm in line with him and we're playing. You know, what was the thing where you lay on your back and your Oklahoma drill, right, is this the world's dumbest drill, right? And you count and you're like, uh-oh, I got to move up in line. I'll give you my lunch tomorrow to switch with you. Right. I don't want to go against that dude. And then when you were 18, he couldn't even make the team because he never grew from the time he was 12.
Right.
It's those dudes that manhandle people that you always got to be worried about technique. It is very much like the quarterback, Mike, that the Cam Newtons of the world that have always had the athleticism to be able to escape when things break down. That's their default mechanism. And when that athleticism wanes because of years of play, then what do you have left? If you haven't worked on your game, you get cut when a rookie beats you out. Like, those are the things that you worry about. So, again, they're a mess up front, and they've got a built-in excuse. If Daniel Jones doesn't play well, are they going to blame Daniel Jones? Like, some people will point the finger at Daniel Jones, but most of the people will point the finger at, well, our receivers were injured, and our O-line couldn't block anybody, and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. And nobody will probably hold him accountable, and he'll probably get another, you know, he'll get another opportunity to, you know, to continue to try to win or continue to try to develop as a quarterback.
Well, this is his make or break year. I mean, by the end of year three, he has to be trending up, or otherwise they're back in the quarterback market, right? I mean, you would think
unless what they have. They have all these built-in, well, he got sacked. You know, what if he gets sacked 44 times? What if there's no protection? Like, all these things come, all these things factor in when you're deciding.
So you're telling me he could go, let's say, a full season, in which case he'd be 44 games into his NFL career, and people would still be making excuses for him.
Sure.
Because he's a high first-round pick. Meanwhile, Drew Lock, who got 18 starts, is done after basically a year and a half.
Absolutely. Wow. I mean, that's the way it works.
I get that's the way it works. You know, but understand, this is the downside, and it's a big time downside if you miss on a first round quarterback, because under your scenario, you could be wasting 4 years with this guy.
Sure. Sure. But listen, they got done with training camp, Mike, and instantly cut a couple of offensive linemen. They traded for two offensive linemen. I mean, they're a mess, an absolute mess. Now, you know, a lot of that comes down to your play caller and how you set those guys up for success, and, you know, and what the scheme you're going to run is, what you're trying to accomplish, all that kind of stuff. You know, that really comes down to, there's a lot of factors in protecting your quarterback, but I guarantee you one thing: if you get into third down and long and you try to get five out, you know, I understand the five out principle, but normally what you're going to have to do is, because you're not going to have any time, you're throwing the check down anyhow. You're throwing the swing route. You're throwing the tight end who, you know, spots over the ball, whatever it is, and you're not going to make that first down. You're not going to convert that first down anyway. So, like, there is that conundrum to deal with as well.
Coming up, four down territory. Forget about being a team captain. or even a member of the player council. Mark belonged in a category all by itself when it comes to team leadership. He'll tell you humbly about it next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I haven't.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
Now, we elected captains last week. I guess we should have announced it, but we didn't. We got Teddy Bridgewater, Von Miller, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, Brandon McManus, and Cortland Sutton.
There he is, accompanied by his own soundtrack, Vic Fangio. So some teams have captains. Some teams have a players' council.
Yes.
You had a role and a category unique all unto itself. And what was that?
I don't know, Mike. Why don't you tell me what it was?
Sounds like you were like a shanty whisperer.
No.
Like to the point where players and coaches would come to you and say, hey, can you take this to Mike? Hey, can you tell Mike this? You were either a shanty whisperer or you were Shanny's, like, student pet.
No, I would
hey,
have
Coach Shanahan. That was a great team meeting today. Here's
female
an apple.
Boy Mike Evans. Here's an apple.
No,
it wasn't that way at all. Just when things needed to be done, I was the guy that could get. I was like, you know what? I was like Red in Shawshank Redemption. I'm a guy who knows how to get things from time to time. That was a terrible,
terrible Morgan Freeman.
Right.
By the way, quick little aside. Frank Caliendo's latest.
Oh, yeah. On the Herb Street book?
The Herb Street book.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. I was just laughing out loud watching that. That it might have been his best stuff ever.
Oh.
It was right up there when it was all the different NFL coaches going through their schedules.
Dude, it was hilarious. I highly
recommend you go look it up.
It's awesome. All right. He's great at that.
Next in Four Down Territory.
Second down.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no set number, or maybe, you know, numbers that I'd probably share, but it definitely is a goal. I mean, that's number one on the goal board is just takeaways. I mean, literally number one, every time we walk into the room, we talk about is just takeaways. Watch takeaway tape, emphasize it in practice. That's all we're focused on.
This has been, well, maybe not the greatest mystery of the Vic Fangio defense in the 2 years he's been here. I guess the biggest mystery is why they haven't been able to close out teams when they've had them down. But I guess number two for me is why a Vic Fangio defense that was a turnover forcing machine his last year in Chicago has been anything but here in Denver. Among the league lowest, 16 forced turnovers last year. That's it. 10 interceptions, 6 fumbles.
Well, a lot of it has to do with complementary football. I mean, if your offense, if you're always behind by 10, it's really hard to create turnovers because you're not given the opportunity as often. You know, it really comes down to being able to cover, to being able to rush the passer. You know, you look at what they had in Chicago at that time. Obviously, Khalil Mack was as good as it gets at that time.
What those linebackers they had?
Well, they had a bunch of Danny Trevathan played there. They had the kid out of Georgia, flat out run. Why his name is escaping me right now. Akeem Hicks on the interior was great. They had a nose guard that was a really good player, and Eddie Jackson in the defensive secondary was tremendous. I mean, they just had a lot of guys that were really good, and they were playing. I mean, I think they went 12-4 that year, so they were playing ahead a lot. If you play ahead a lot, you're going to be able to create turnovers, and this team theoretically should have opportunities to create turnovers.
Next in Four Down Territory.
Third down.
I gained a lot of confidence. Man, the leg felt really, really well. It felt really good. And the day after, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but, you know, going through a little bit of gameplay that I had and then the warm-up and everything, you know, the leg felt really, really good. Got to come in and just maintenance on the body, you know, got ready to get ready for the next day. And body feels good. I didn't know what to expect after the game, but it felt good.
Well, in case you missed it, Mark and I have a wager now for the whole season. Dinner at Shanny's. And geez, now that we found out what the relationship between you and Shanny is, even if you lose, you'll win because Shanny will probably comp your meal.
Put it on the Shanny tab, please.
I'll probably have to pay for the water. So anyway, I've got Jerry Jeudy, you got Cortland Sutton as to who will have more catches and yards this year. Why are you confident in Sutton over Jeudy? Sutton coming back from that knee injury and going to go into the season wearing a brace on that knee.
I'm confident in what I saw. I'm also confident in that he is going to be the individually tagged guy oftentimes. He'll be on the opposite side of a 3-by-1 trips formation. He'll be on the single side. So there are some opportunities where you're just getting one-on-ones. You're not relying on the route combination. You're relying on the one-on-one matchup. And, you know, if you really look at the league, the way most teams operate is, you know, first and second down is let our scheme win. Third down is let my player win. And even when he's covered, he's open because he's such a big-bodied guy. So I just think you're going to get the majority of those situations, those balls are going to Cortland. Does that make sense?
All right, we shall see.
Yeah.
We shall see.
I would love to spend some of your money on a fatty bony ribeye.
Oh, yeah. Win or lose, you'll get one with a lot of gristle.
Oh, I'm going to get
one. You'll eat that gristle.
I will eat the fat.
And then you'll eat
diabetes.
And you'll eat my gristle.
Fat is not
delicious.
Diabetes just makes your butt top.
Speaking of which,
he's fat.
We'll get a Save the Button update coming up here in about 10 minutes. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Tyrod Taylor will start for us at quarterback, for sure.
David Culley announcing that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans.
What were your options? Beyond Tyrod Taylor, what was your other option?
Oh, Jeff Driscoll was there.
The gamer?
No, the gamer's Brandon Allen.
Oh, that's right. Jeff Driscoll.
How can you?
I don't know. I just got excited when I heard, a random backup quarterback that has played here before. I was like, oh.
I can understand. There are many.
Yes.
There are many.
The league is no longer.
The league is littered. Did he get cut?
Yeah, he got cut.
So who's the backup to Tyrod Taylor?
Davis Miles.
Oh, okay. He's the guy they drafted out of
third round.
Stanford, I think.
Not to be confused. Yes, Stanford. Not to be confused with Miles Davis.
No.
Completely
Davis
different
Miles,
guy.
Yes.
Davis Miles.
Boy, you don't think that Tyrod Taylor's going to have his head on a swivel anytime a guy with a needle comes close to him? Stay away! Stay away from my lungs! Last time he was in this position, got his lung nicked and opened the door for Justin Herbert, and he got Wally pipped.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Now,
Justin Herbert was amazing.
Boy, though, you wonder. You just wonder, don't you? How long would it have taken for Anthony Lynn to make the change? That's one of the great what-if questions in the NFL last year. What happens if Tyrod Taylor does not get taken out by his own trainer, sabotaged?
His own team doctor.
Team doctor. How long does Tyrod Taylor play before ultimately going to Justin Herbert?
That's a good question.
5 games? 6 games? Probably looking at least 5, right?
Can you imagine Justin Herbert last year? It's 5 minutes before kickoff. Oh, hey, by the way, Tyrod Taylor, we just punctured his lung. You're starting. Good luck. Don't screw it up.
That was against the Chiefs, wasn't it?
And just went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in your first start as a rookie. They ended up losing that game, but it was, I think they had, I don't know if they had the lead, but I know it was neck and neck.
Boy, he better have a sophomore slump. He better have a regression year. If he doesn't and he just builds on it, and we got 2 unicorns in the division, heaven help us. Heaven help us. All right, that'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Up next, What does the return of Saquon Barkley mean for the Giants? And we'll get a save the button update as we inch ever closer to Thursday's deadline. That's next. Man, you must have really been jonesing for some Miles Davis.
Because I knew this is Davis Miles.
Because you called the Texans' backup quarterback Davis Miles and said, Davis Miles, it's like Miles Davis. It's Davis Mills is the quarterback.
Oh. Mills?
Davis Mills.
Oh, well, there you go.
Not Davis Miles. Miles Davis. It's Davis Mills.
Oh, well, I just... How's it spelled? M-I-L-L-S?
Yes, Mills.
Miles would be M-I-L-E-S?
Yes.
No, it's just a misprint.
I think you just wanted to believe it was Davis Miles.
Would be great if it was Davis Miles.
It would be an interesting quirk, wouldn't it?
It would be very quirky. Now it just ruined, you just ruined it for me.
I know I did. Sorry, trying to be factual. Sorry, guys. Guys that look as good as Herbert never regress. Let's see. We'll see. We'll see. Because you know what's been gaining a little bit more traction of late is the idea that last year was the year of the quarterback. And you'll never have circumstances as good as it was to play quarterback last year without fans in the building.
Yes.
So you have to look at what quarterbacks did, especially the ones that did really, really well, and put a bit, for the time being, put a bit of an asterisk beside it.
Right. Yeah, but... Last year, I mean, there's so many things that made last year. I understand that you didn't, you know, the excuses we hear all the time. Well, we didn't have OTAs and we didn't have a legitimate training camp and it was so off. But when you get into those situations as an offense and you don't have to eliminate any of your playbook coming out of the back of the end zone, everything is open to you from the 20 on. You don't have to use a silent cadence, Mike. All the things that make playing on the road tough, they were eliminated last year. It was the easiest year ever to play football for a quarterback. And if you didn't produce last year, like, you know, Drew Lock didn't produce, like enough. Daniel Jones didn't produce, then I got a question. I got to look at it and go, we can sit there and say, well, you didn't have a lot of time to prepare because no OTAs. Well, guess what? Nobody else did either. And last year should have been the easiest year in the history. And it proved out, it bared out. I mean, there was less interceptions, more touchdowns, more yardage, better completion percentage than I think any year in history.
More on the text line, talking about Brandon Allen. When you say the gamer, I always think of the video gamer, Paxton Lynch. That's strong. Always appreciate the feedback from the listeners. Let's see. There was one other one that I wanted. Oh, here we go. I know it's a couple days early, but is it just me or does Texans coach David Culley sound like the late, great Denny Green? All right, here's Denny Green.
If you want to crown them, then crown their. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
All right. Now, David Culley.
Tyrod Taylor would start for us at quarterback, for sure.
No.
Yeah, but if David Culley got to the level that Denny Green was at that night, after letting the Bears off the hook, he sound like Denny Green?
He sounds more like Tick-Tock McLaughlin. What's that guy's name?
Tick-Tock McLaughlin.
This is Tick-Tock McLaughlin live.
Tick-Tock McLaughlin. Let's sit down, put him next to Culley. He's got that cadence. Listen.
Tyrod Taylor would start for us at quarterback.
This is Tick-Tock McLaughlin live.
Clapper's
corner.
Tyrod Taylor. Start for us, quarterback. Here come the boys in blue. Tyrod Taylor leading the way, number 5.
Okay. Anyway, a couple of observations there from the texters.
Sure.
The return of Saquon Barkley for the Giants. Boy, actually, before we do that, Because this is what we do. We gotta pay it off every day.
Right.
This is the time where we do, and it's becoming crucial now because we're down to the last couple of days. This is definitely nut cutting time, right?
Yes.
All right, it's time for
Can
the
you save that.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Save the button challenge.
It's time for Save the Button.
Please do not make me press this button.
No, not the buttons! Not my gumdrop button!
Every day we check in with Mark Schlereth to see if he's one step closer to fitting into his game day suit.
When my neck is eating my chin.
Will Stink lose enough LBs before kickoff?
I like to think of myself as fat Chris Hemsworth.
Let's find out.
Diabetes.
Right now.
All right, yesterday you were 246, not 246 and change, 246 no. on the button, which puts you on pace. 1 pound a day will get you to your goal of 243 by the Thursday morning weigh-in. That is assuming you're 245 today. What are you?
Well, Michael, you know, I've been very diligent, as you know. You don't ever want to, you don't, I had a strength coach in Washington used to say all the time, don't be in a hurry to get where you're eventually going to be. And don't race right into it, right? Don't race right into the season, in the off season. You build up, you stack blocks, you create a foundation. That's how it works. I am in fine shape to meet my goal. I'll probably hit it. Well, I've got till Thursday, so I'm not going to race right into it.
Number, please.
244.4.
Whoa. So you went a pound and a half.
Yeah.
You actually got a little wiggle room today. You don't have to lose a pound. You just have to lose half a pound.
I don't have
today.
Wiggle room. But, you know, I've got another full day in the yard and then a plate of meat. After a full day in the yard, and then I'm right back into grinding on Giants tape and Broncos tape. Broncos tape, I haven't started hitting the, like, going back into last season yet on the Broncos stuff. But I'll pick out a couple of games to really kind of look at them defensively and offensively. But, you know, we were at camp every day. Like, I've got a better read on what the Broncos are than, obviously, the Giants. So I'm just kind of trying on the Giants.
I would think your offensive digging into the film offensively for the Broncos probably, I mean, not a whole lot changed from last year, right? I mean, I know Bridgewater will be the quarterback, but seems to be you'd have to. There's more unknown with what they're bringing defensively this year. Yes, no, with all the
No.
I mean, you got some new corners, got the return of Vaughn and Chubb.
I think the difference is, I think philosophically, the difference is you'll see them play a lot more nickel and dime. I think you'll see them line up with 5 and 6 DBs a bunch and just believe that they've got the players and the versatility with both, and they do. From a versatility standpoint, they're as versatile as anybody in the league. With Callahan, if he's healthy, obviously with Surtain, who is a tremendous young player. So I think that's the biggest difference. But, you know, whether it's nickel or dime, Mike, it's still bodies, right? I mean, you're just exchanging, you know, are you exchanging one linebacker? Are you exchanging two linebackers? Like, it's still body. It's like the classic story of Brett Favre. You ever hear the story about Brett Favre and Ty Detmer?
It has something to do with a coverage look, right?
Yeah, well, they're talking in meetings. And so, you know, Mike Holmgren is talking about, and at this point, Brett Favre has already been an MVP. MVP of the league. And so they're talking about the nickel and who the nickel is and da 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 and this, that, and the other. And so they get done with the meeting, and Brett Favre goes to Ty Detmer and goes, I don't know, what the hell's a nickel anyhow? What does that even mean? And Detmer's like, are you kidding me? He goes, no, what? Well, they take out the Will linebacker and they put in a safety, right? Or they put in a DB. And Brett Favre, like, still playing with 11 guys, right? And Denver goes, well, yeah. And he goes, who gives a bleep? Hey, he just walked off. Like, what does it even matter? So the guy goes from a 52 to 47. Who cares? Still a dude out there. And when you think about it, when you think about it that way, like I always say something about football that I think is really interesting. And it's one of the things that intrigues me about the game. It is incredibly simplistic and incredibly complex at the same time. The juxtaposition of simplicity versus complexity that just fascinates me about the game. Like you can keep it simple, stupid. If you can block people, you can hit people, you can dominate the line of scrimmage, you can win, regardless of what your system is, right? It just is, it's fascinating. You can keep it as simple as you want, or you can get really complex.
We're going to have systems.
You get smart enough players, you can get really complex. It's just an interesting kind of juxtaposition between those two things.
Boy, Brett Favre, the ultimate gunslinger. Ultimate. No risk it, no biscuit. Think about this. And here's an interesting question for you. Would Brett Favre be allowed to be Brett Favre in today's NFL? Would he be able to change? In a league in which teams value the ball more than they ever have and put, quite honestly, more of an emphasis on not throwing interceptions than throwing touchdowns, do you know in Brett Favre's career, 302 games, he threw 336 picks. Now, he threw 508 touchdowns.
Right.
But he threw 336 interceptions. This guy was more than an interception per game quarterback.
And then you look at Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, consistently throws 5 to 7 picks a year and 35 to 40 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the ratio is ridiculous. You know what? Both of them have one world championship.
True.
I think
for your money, who would you want?
Oh, I'd want Rodgers.
Why?
Because he's almost got a deal done here in Denver. I want Rodgers.
Relax.
Gonna die on that hill, aren't you?
But hey, I just cannot wait when he signs here to throw out the proverbial I told you so tweet and just leave it at that. Leave it at that.
Boy, do I hope you're right. Boy, if there's any time I will root for you to be at your highest level of I told you so, snarky, Mark Schlereth to the nth degree. Boy, I'll take it.
You know,
gladly.
Here's what I will
gladly
do.
Gladly.
When that happens, I will hike up to the top of Mount Pompous with one of them 12-foot Werner ladders on my back. I'll prop it up on the very peak of Mount Pompous. Then I'll crawl to the top step. And it tells you not to crawl to the top step.
Don't go on that top step.
It tells you not to do it. But I'm going to do it anyway. And by the way, usually it gives you a 250-pound warning. Now that... Well, we've established I'm under 250.
244 and change.
I can climb confidently to the top of that ladder without that ladder just collapsing underneath my enormous weight.
Perch on it.
Just stand up there.
Stare down at Simeon Point.
Mm.
Bulls Bluff. Rogers Rock.
Mm. The Paxton Lynch Lazy River.
Look down on it all.
Gosh, it's so beautiful.
Just say I told you so.
That's right.
Oh, I hope you're right.
Hushabye Bay, Pat Shermer, Hushabye Bay. Look at how calm the waters are.
The Fangio 50-50 forest?
Yeah, the Fangio 50-50 forest. The flip a coin forest. The death by inches forest.
Oh, so good. So good. I hope you're right. Man, do I hope you're right.
Who would you take?
Of the two?
There's only one answer. Come on.
Yeah, I'd take Rodgers.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And I know some Green Bay fans will probably get very upset at us. But yeah, I would take Rodgers over Favre. Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. Okay. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.